The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We may have Bobby Dooley, the general manager of Rising FC, with us. They are in the Western Conference Finals for the USL. He is in some meetings. He may join us. He may not. Bill Goodykoontz will join us. And I am certain that Bill, when I tell Bill the story that has come out this morning from Louisville, Kentucky, that I'll have in a minute, that we're probably not going to talk much about Sabrina the Teenage Witch on Netflix, but we probably will get into some of that. Because Bill, of course, chief film media critic and has been on the political beat, and we're 5 days away from the election, and the hate rhetoric is just stepping up all over the place. And I'm just, oh man, next Tuesday cannot get here quick enough. Let me just put it like that. Today is Eric's birthday. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen's birthday is, in fact, it is such a big day. I'm going to do something that may cause this show to have a train wreck. We like car crashes on this show. So, Devin, Eric's going to come in here. He's going to take off his headset, and he's going to come in here now. So, Eric, take off your headset and come in here now. And as Eric is making his way into the show, Devin's got to go over and turn on his microphone. And Eric has a microphone already set up for him because we pre-planned this. We have the newest addition to Sports 360 AZ. Actually, she's only going to be here for about another few weeks. That's Kennedy, who's the intern, who's going to be over there. So sit over here in this seat. So you can walk in front of the cameras. You don't need to be all official. Because, you know, you sit over there in your hole and we're never here together. I don't understand, you know.
Well, we're here together. We're just separated by glass and mortar and
brick
and
whatever.
Paint. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I offered you the day off.
Yes.
On Tuesday.
Yes.
And you said at the time, yes.
Yes.
But you're here today because Kennedy wants to learn.
Yeah, Kennedy, our intern, I'm sort of mentoring her.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. That's kind of rough for her.
Yeah, I know. I haven't mentored very many interns over the
have a Tic Tac
35 years of working.
So. I'll take you to lunch.
Thanks.
You are north of 40.
I am, but south of 50.
North of 40, south of 50.
Let's split the difference.
You, for those of you that have seen Eric through the years, I have not done like 20 questions with Eric in a long time.
Thankfully,
I mean, we do 20 questions like. Win or loss, Cardinals, ASU, mindless stuff to fill the day.
And I talk to you more than I talk to anyone else in my life. So, and that's not a bad thing. We talk all the time.
We text all the time.
We talk a lot.
Is this a happy birthday for you?
I don't know. The day just started. I'll let you know by the end of the day. But so far, it's been
how
good.
Much crap have you gotten on TCU losing to Kansas other than from me on Monday's show? And I didn't really give you that much crap.
I mean, some people, like, they don't even say anything. Like, I'll just go up to them, and they'll just shake their head, and I'll just, like,
wow.
I'll just do one of these, like, look away, I'm heinous. But not too bad.
Your closest friend in broadcasting, one of them is Larry Gatos.
Yes.
So does he give you crap on your birthday?
No.
Do any of your broadcast friends give you... Luke Lipinski is a friend of yours,
he
right?
He is.
Does he give you crap on your birthday?
Just about TCU or just crap
anything,
in general?
Anything.
No. I mean...
you have a lot of broadcast friends.
Yeah, and I've gotten actually quite a few texts this morning. It's been nice. So it's just not... I mean, I'm just more popular on my birthday than I am every other day of the year.
What are you talking about?
It's true, but it's good.
All right. So I owe you a lunch. We're going to agree
to
that.
And my bonus check, too. I thought my birthday bonus check, I'd get it, but I don't.
Let's see. I have a Starbucks here.
I don't see it. Some Tic Tacs.
I have a stir for my Starbucks.
Okay, cool. Checks in the mail, right?
This is where you hold money. It's got a receipt.
You never carry cash anyway, so.
I'll get you a lunch at Rinaldi's.
That's fine.
Rinaldi's.
Okay.
You know how
I'm
Rinaldi's
down for that.
Is.
Yeah, I love it.
All right.
Okay.
We appreciate you.
I'm going to go back on the other side. Thank you. I appreciate you too.
So do this. As he's walking back, now I would like for Kennedy to come in here. So Kennedy, take off your headset now that you've done Eric's job. Because here's how it works at our place. It's your birthday. We call you out a little bit. It's kind of like Jordan yesterday pretending he was a monkey. And he's on the set banging cymbals I don't know if you guys caught yesterday's show. Yeah, this was yesterday. This is what we do. It's like, yeah, that's our stuff. That's what we do. When boss is away, everybody will play. No, so Kennedy has been our intern this semester, and she's going to continue to be, unless you're going to quit.
No.
No, you have a great laugh, by the way. So,
thank you.
So there you go. Lean in there a little bit. So so you've been the intern here since late August, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How's your internship experience been?
I've loved it here. I feel like I've grown.
Oh, come on.
In
come on. Don't shovel it.
No, okay. I've seriously have grown a lot.
Okay.
Not only like in my journalism skills, but you've helped me see my potential. And
rock star.
Yeah.
She brings me Starbucks. It tastes like dirty water, but that's okay. That's fine.
I already apologize. That was my bad.
You are a junior at Arizona State?
Yes.
And you are from Wyoming?
I am.
Do you know Ralph Amsden at all?
I don't.
Ralph comes on the show occasionally. Eric, we got to get Kennedy with Ralph just to chat about Wyoming days.
We follow each other on Twitter, though.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. If you were to say something to the audience about the people here at Sports 360 AZ, good or bad, what would you say? You know, if I said Jordan Hamm, what comes into your mind?
I haven't interacted with Jordan a lot, but
he's kind of a diva.
Say...
He's a diva.
Diva.
Yeah, I get it.
But I would say that you all are great mentors, and even though I haven't been here that long, I would trust any of you with your opinion and your advice.
Even Eric?
Even Eric.
Yeah. So he said he's working with you a little bit. So, all right. Your work is done here. One day you do want to sit in this chair, right? You want to host
potentially
someday? Potentially. Or do you want to write? Where do you want to be?
I
don't want to know this.
I don't know
you
right
still don't
now.
Know yet?
Potentially I'd want to be a host or a reporter like on camera, but we'll see.
All right. Get out of here. You did fine. You can walk in front of the cameras if you
no.
want. It's fine. It's part of the crew here. We didn't put Devin on today because Devin was on the TV show last week. All right. To the sports stuff today, because it is a heavy sports weekend ahead. Brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. That would be with life insurance. That would be with 529 plans. You're looking at college. That would be with annuities. I recently got my license because I believe so strongly in what Sagicor is all about, the people, the vibe, the products, and that the financial planning services side, especially in sports, if you're thinking about college scholarships and all that stuff, it's like, I can help people with this. So log on. Great people at Sagicor Now. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. That is Sagicor. Protect what matters most. ASU, Utah, and Arizona, Colorado is what I keep coming back to because the Suns just flat blow. Man, like DeAndre Ayton is averaging a double-double, and I understand Devin Booker grabbed his hamstring and hasn't played. But guys, this is Groundhog Day. Their games, once again, last night, they're down 20 in the first half. And they end up another non-competitive game. On every level, no defense being played. They give up 120. They're 1-6 on the season. So I cannot wrap my arms around what's going on with the Suns. I've said the Coyotes are coming. Yeah, the Coyotes, it looks like they beat Tampa Bay at the end of a road trip for Tampa. And Tampa didn't have some of their best players out on the ice. I'm not degrading what happened to the Coyotes. But what we do in this town, typically, and this is a town, it is a town. This is not big city stuff here. We have all these sports, but it's the biggest little city in America. What typically happens is when a team does well in October or November, we get so excited and we think they finally turned the corner. And of course, me being me, I've seen this forever, say, you know what? It's fine. It's nice. But we're not going to get too excited until we get into January, late January into February. Usually right around the Waste Management Open week, after that's done, 1st of February, you kind of sort of know what's happening. I think in the Coyotes case in particular, we will see something out of them this year. It looks like they're going to be a team that can push for a playoff. The Suns are already 1-6. They have one of their longest homestands of the season. And last night, they were just flat awful. So I don't know what's going to happen on that front. It leads me to the college football. And we'll get into that as the show progresses because the Arizona State game is huge. U of A plays on a Friday night. I don't like that. I do not like when college football steps on high school football on Friday nights. But U of A will be hosting their game against Colorado. We'll get into both those in a bit. And on the other side, Bobby Dooley, the general manager of Rising FC, may be with us. He may not. And then Good Eat the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat. We're coming into a big sports weekend, as always, but this one has extra meaning because Rising can end up going to the championship game in the USL if they win at Orange County at the Championship Soccer Stadium in Irvine on Saturday night. We've had a lot of feedback from Rising through the years, even before they were Rising, when they were United and before that. And to see the franchise be the little engine that could 4 or 5 years ago and then ownership change to just flat out getting after it and barreling down the tracks and they're this close, it's a hell of a good story. And yeah, ASU plays Saturday afternoon, a huge game for the Sun Devils against Utah. But when the game is finished, you could follow what Rising is doing. They're going to have a viewing party in that. Bobby Dooley can tell you about that here in a moment. The general manager of Rising FC will join us. But this calendar is clear for fans to watch what would be for soccer fans. And I say sports fans in general because, you know, MLS is this close. I'll take USL in a championship game. So just so you know, Friday, Saturday night, pay attention to what's going on there. In fact, Bobby Dooley is with us now. You're not over in Orange County yet, are you?
Nope. Traveling over tomorrow.
Yeah? And are you nervous? Are you just not sleeping at night? Are you watching the ceiling fan spin around with what's at stake?
No, we feel good. Our coaches have been working very hard this week as well to prepare the boys. The boys are confident. You know, getting those first two playoff wins under our belt has certainly helped us with the confidence. And we know we have a very good opponent. You know, Orange County is the number one seed in the West. But we're fortunate that we have so many fans that are traveling over to make it feel like a home game for us. So we're excited. It's a great opportunity. It's an opportunity to win the trophy, our first trophy, the Western Conference champs. So we know what's ahead of us, and we know what's past that. So we're going to keep working hard this week. We have a lot of talent. Orange County has a lot of talent, and it should be a pretty fun night out there in Irvine.
So this stadium holds like 5,000. I've not been there. Is that about right, Bobby?
Correct.
So I've been calling this a place to have a meetup or a convention, kind of like the Cubs in the off season where they go barnstorming around Illinois and around the country and thousands of fans show up. So I've been calling this a meetup or a convention for Rising FC. You said you're taking busloads of fans over. Is it too late if there's somebody watching, listening to this as it gets pushed out for them to jump in on that? And how many fans are going?
Well, we have 7 buses, and every spot is accounted for.
Wow, dang.
On those buses. And I certainly know there's quite a few more fans, both from Phoenix area as well as the Southern California area, that have purchased tickets as well. And we'll be hosting a pregame tailgate right outside the stadium at 4:30 on Saturday. And just as we did in our 2 home games, there will be a nice welcome for our team when they pull up to the stadium and let them enter the stadium, you know, through the tunnel of Phoenix Rising fans. So I'm expecting quite a few, you know, people dressed in red, code red for us this week. Yeah. And it should be a good vibe and a good feel and give our players a little extra motivation. I know that.
Do you get up on like a podium and give a pep talk to the fans and all that? I mean, is this?
You're not
in that space yet?
The pep talks stay in the locker room, and I don't have to give the fans any sort of pep talk. I mean, they have been fantastic these 2 years, and we certainly are very appreciative of the support we've received here in Phoenix and throughout the state. But the way they travel, and you know, we sent busloads of fans out to Las Vegas earlier in the year, and we have fans that travel to most, if not all, of our games. So it's fortunate that it's within driving distance. It's a good location. It'll be a beautiful night out in Southern California. And,
sure.
And hopefully, you know, things go our way in Orange County, and they also go our way tomorrow night down in Louisville. And if the chips fall where we hope they fall, there's potential for a home game for the USL Cup next Thursday night here in Phoenix, Arizona.
So for that to happen, as I was explaining, I wrote about it, and fans got all geeked up, and that would be Red Bulls have to beat Louisville, correct?
That is correct.
So they win.
And they have played the last 2 years in the West, in the Eastern Conference Finals, those two clubs, and with each team winning one of those championships, Eastern Conference championships, and both of those games actually went to penalty kicks. So
wow,
both good quality teams at this time of the year and this deep in the playoffs. Obviously, everyone's got a lot of quality, and any team could win it. and it's about execution on a game night. So we'll be watching that game closely tomorrow night as well down in Louisville.
So the way it works, quite simply, Red Bulls win, you host next Thursday. There's nothing else other than that, right? No other options. So if you host, and I had a lot of fans that asked me this one, and I think I put it to bed, it's not going to be anywhere else other than where you've played all season long. It's going to be at Rising Stadium, because there's been a lot of fans saying, well, couldn't they play it at a bigger venue? Sure, I guess you could, but not on that short of notice, right?
Probably not. The plan is to have it here at our soccer complex, where we've had a lot of success this year.
And you could expand that. If we're just looking ahead a little bit, I'm doing that here in 19. You could make that 10, 12, 15, right? If you wanted
to. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the stadium that we have right now, and it's the demand of the fans. I think what we've seen these past couple of weeks, and having nearly 8,000 people in our stadium, you know, last week, it was a fantastic environment. There was a tremendous amount of energy and buzz in the stadium, and I sure know that everyone was looking to expand the stadium, and I think we could continue. It's just a testament to the growth of the sport and, sure, and to our fans here in Arizona.
And if for those that can't go to Southern California, I think it's important to note you have a watch party. People can get information about that over on your website. Is it just it's just one watch party, right? It's not around the state?
Right now we have a watch party at Thirsty Lion right here at Tempe Marketplace.
Okay.
And then you can also watch the game on Cox, Yearview, Channel 1004, or on ESPN Plus.
On ESPN Plus. So the deal is this. You go to the ASU game at 12:30. It finishes like 4:30, 5 o'clock. You walk over to Thirsty Lion, and you hang out, and then you watch that. That's a sports doubleheader, right? I mean, that's pretty simple. You can pull that off.
It's a great day.
Yeah, make that work. All right. Well, I just want to have you on kind of the who, what, where, when, why's, because I'm getting a lot of people asking me, and I appreciate you coming on. And I'm not going to ask you for predictions because that's a dumb question. I think I know where you're going to go with that. But you just have to be pleased. I'll just make one comment to you, Bobby. You have to be so pleased to not just see what's going on the field, but the questions of will media come and cover and will fans show up in numbers for more than just a few matches? What's happened here in October was pretty special.
Yeah, no, the support of the media has been fantastic this year, and the support of our fans has been, you know, has been fantastic in our 2 years of existence. And, you know, winning certainly helps what we're doing.
Sure.
And there's a lot of momentum right now. There's a lot of buzz, and we couldn't be more excited about, you know, what's happened these past couple months, but we're even more excited about what's ahead of us. And there's a tremendous amount of potential and opportunity to to take this sport, this franchise, to unprecedented heights. And we got a lot of people behind us, media, sponsors, fans, and we have an ownership group that's committed to the project.
And we'll talk about that another day, but I think that's a good way. We'll leave it at that. Good luck over in Irvine. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
It's Bobby Dooley with us, General Manager of Rising FC. Yeah, that's a good doubleheader. Go to the ASU game, really stumble over to Thirsty Lion, and just hang out and watch the match that night. And then they turn around and play the champ game. That'd be next Thursday. We might have to have an all-hands-on-deck, Eric. We might have to just put everybody on. I don't know if I could go over and do the Josh Rosen getting ready for Kansas City on Wednesday. I don't think I'd do that.
I bet you could. You could probably pull it off.
You think I could do both?
I think so.
I mean, Rising, it's the first time ever. What the Cardinals are, what, 2-6, and they'd be going to Kansas City, and the game is Thursday? I mean, no, I'd go to Rising for sure. It's been a great story. I'd absolutely love what's going on. Bobby's understating because the organization's not going to sit there and say the MLS is coming, the MLS is coming. It's not. They're not there yet. There's still some boxes, I think, that need to be checked from what I can tell. We are going to talk about ASU Utah. I don't know if I need to go further into where the Suns are last night, but I want some extra time in the next segment to go through both of those this coming weekend. And so let's break here a little early, and then on the other side, I'm going to get into ASU and U of A because it's a big weekend for both those, and also LSU Alabama. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So Saturday, the college football, actually I should back up. Friday night, I'm not going down to U of A, Colorado. It's the start of the high school football playoffs. I think that when college football tries to impede on high school, it's just flat wrong. Friday nights are high school. Saturdays are college. Sundays are NFL. The Sunday night game with New England and Green Bay is going to set a record for viewers. I'm sitting here on Thursday just telling you that Sunday night this week, because NBC is hyping this game like I've not seen anything hyped by NBC, and they are the masters of hype. They're trying every angle possible. It's the start of sweeps in television. It's November. So, and people on TV will say, oh, there's always sweeps. Well, no, it's, you know, certain periods. So Patriots-Packers is gigantic. That is the sports story of the weekend. But the college people said, we're going to schedule LSU and Alabama, and the game's going to be at LSU, and that is going to be on Saturday night. That's going to be a hell of a matchup.
Not according to Vegas, Brad.
You think it's a blowout? 14.5, right?
It's ridiculous. How good is Bama? They're 15-point favorites
road
in Death Valley for a night game. Yeah. Think about that. That's where teams go to die. Bama, yeah, you're 2 touchdown favorites, and you're probably going to cover.
So I'm sitting here. I got my ballot for Heisman, and Tua's the guy this year, from as far as I can tell. I'm looking around, and it's pretty thin. I don't see anybody who's jumping out at me like, wow. Will Greer against Iowa State, he was horrible.
So that Khalil Tate, Heisman Trophy thing,
well,
actually came to fruition.
When I was down, I went to the BYU U of A game to start the season. I told Jordan, Haley and Shannon Leibrock and I, the three of us went down there, and Khalil Tate was terrible. He lost it within the first quarter. He was gone. Justin Herbert last week, gone. There's no way you could vote for him after what he did against U of A, which was nothing. So it's got to be Tua.
I would think so. I mean, we are in November, and he has yet to throw an interception, so it's hard to argue stats like that.
Is there anybody else?
No.
That even comes close?
No, because, I don't know, like, Bama is the best team, and he is the best player on the best team. So however you – the Heisman Trophy is sort of morphed from
– Do you still care about that?
Yeah, of course. Okay. I love college football, but it's like – The definition of the Heisman Trophy, Mike Leach talked about that last weekend, is kind of skewed.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of changed a little bit. It's become now like the best player on the most popular team and not necessarily like the biggest impact player in college football.
I see what you're saying. Well, if it was the biggest impact player, you'd have to look at defensive linemen in Houston. You'd have to look.
Yeah, he has no shot.
Right. You'd have to look at, has Kyler Murray been the difference maker for Oklahoma? And Oklahoma's a, 13.5 pick against Texas Tech this week. I think they're going to blow them out by more than that. That's just me. The Sun Devil game on Saturday, I was talking to someone this morning who is a longtime ASU observer, and this person would know. And he just said flat out, he said, there's not going to be anybody at the game. It's really disappointing. ASU just doesn't draw fans during the day. For whatever reason, it doesn't draw fans during the day. That may be true, but here's why they don't draw fans. Arizona State, just follow me on this, you ASU homers. You wear your maroon socks up to your knees and your gold shorts below your knees. Here's truth. You have been ranked in the top 10 exactly 3 times. 3 since Jake Plummer went to the Rose Bowl. 3 times you've been ranked. That's it in the top 10. That's why there's empty seats. Because you've only been ranked 3 times. No one else's fault. No one else's fault. I was listening last week to the ASU postgame show after they beat USC. And people are still calling about Todd Graham. It's like, are you kidding me? And in all seriousness, Maryland should call Todd Graham today and try to hire him. Todd Graham is a cleanup guy. He is. He's a cleanup guy. Herm's doing fine. Arizona State has asked me to MC their football awards banquet at the end of the season. And I've already started to think, because I don't script speeches. I just talk. And I've already started down the path of they're in much better shape as a program overall than they were 365 days ago. And it's not even close. Yes, they will take a step back when N'Keal Harry says, I am forgoing my senior season and I'm going to the NFL. This game on Saturday against Utah, ASU's a 7-point home dog, 7 points. Game is at, 2 o'clock, I think, in the afternoon? No, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 1 o'clock kick. The savings time changes for everybody else on Sunday. Utah has had 4 straight weeks where they've scored 40 points. So they're putting up points. And I know that the Pac-12 is dog meat. I got it. I understand there's not a good team out there. But Arizona State's defense, sometimes it's in a 3-4, sometimes it's in a 4-3. They have these kids, these freshmen that are making plays sometimes, and other times they crap the bed. Manny Wilkins sometimes makes big plays, and other times he makes something into nothing, makes a poor decision. That's just who he is. I thought last week when everybody was on the angle of, wow, Manny's just taking all these hits and all this criticism. Manny's done that since he's been at ASU. This isn't anything new. So this is another game where I think ASU plays it close. If they slow it down and drag it out, Moss is a good running back. Huntley's a good quarterback. But ASU, I think, plays Utah well here. It would be disappointing to me because, look, USC stinks. They do. They're not good. And ASU did allow them back into the game. But Sun Devils found a way to win. Their playmakers made plays. Got it. Every game that ASU has played in, they could have won. It's been that close. So for them to go out and lay an egg and lose by 2 or 3 touchdowns at this point of the season, I don't see that happening. That usually happens to teams that don't want to play for their coach. I think that leads over to U of A Colorado. Colorado's brutal right now. How do you blow a 31-3 third quarter at home lead against Oregon State? How do you do that? And they did. And Colorado may not win another game, and a team that was ranked in the top 25 like 3 weeks ago, Mike McIntyre may get fired. They have a terrific wide receiver. But it seems to me that in watching U of A, they're starting to believe in their coach and figure it out. And if Khalil Tate's sitting out for a game in 3 quarters, got his ankle right, good. Because the kid was just getting beat on unmercifully. Instead, Rhett Rod took the hits. I don't like, again, that the game's being played tomorrow night, but I do think U of A is going to win. I would like to sit here and be the homer guy that I am and believe that ASU can move the ball against Utah. Utah has the number one ranked defense in the Pac-12. That doesn't mean much, by the way, because the Pac-12 gives up tons of yards. But it's a very intriguing game in the middle of the day. Penn State, Michigan, intriguing game in the middle of the day. Here's a team in Michigan that is sitting there at 5. For everybody that wanted to fire Jim Harbaugh, this game on Saturday, Michigan is the team that's going to get back into the top 4. Because either if LSU beats Alabama, Alabama's not dropping out of the top 4. Eric, am I right on that?
Yes,
you are right. TV people are not going to let Alabama slip through off a loss to LSU.
Unless they just get completely destroyed.
They get boat raced.
I can't see that happening.
Can't see that. But Michigan is the team that is sitting there in position. If LSU loses, as expected to Alabama, LSU cannot stay in the top 4 unless it's 10-9, right? If it's 13-12 and it's the last second field goal, I guess you could make that argument. But if Michigan beats Penn State, all of a sudden you have to look at what Jim Harbaugh is doing and say, you know what, that program should be put in the top 4. They're the team in the best position.
They really would like a Notre Dame loss. That would really help Michigan because Notre Dame is ahead of Michigan and Notre Dame already beat Michigan. But yeah.
But if you have Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan.
Right.
It's pretty intriguing 4.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because
but
Michigan
again,
would have to beat Ohio State here in a couple weeks.
Like weird, yeah, exactly. And weird things happen in November. Just teams that you would think would beat teams they should don't.
Okay, so are you not a believer in them?
I think Notre Dame is a really good team. I think Michigan has a really good defense. Offensively, they're okay.
They're okay.
But they have a really good defense. And this year, they match up probably the best they have with Ohio State in a long time because they have a good quarterback. In recent past, Michigan has not had a good quarterback, and now they have Shea Patterson, and they're winning. Oh, wow, you need a good quarterback to do well in college football.
No. I mean,
it's just, it's like, that's the most underutilized theme, Brad. Like, you go through the top 25, almost every team has at least a very good to excellent quarterback.
Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, although Bill and I are going to still talk sports. I just put on Twitter, by the way, Bill, now, at Goody K, hashtag one and only. So I'm making this into a big segment.
So. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, it is. It's good. It's Goody. Bill Goodykunz is with us, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, covers politics. He's a public address announcer that misidentifies his own son. He said so last week on this show, which was beautiful.
This is true.
And I had people that laughed very loudly and hard at that.
You were one of them.
I was one of them. I was crying almost. Are you excited for Tuesday to get behind you with the election? Or do you believe that between now and Tuesday, there's going to be stuff that comes along that we'll be saying, what the bleep?
Both.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, but no, I mean, I enjoy this stuff, sort of. I mean, I like it if you can kind of distance yourself from it and just sort of watch it as an observer and somebody, you know, or a critic or something like that. It's certainly interesting. I just don't know how good for the country it is. And so you kind of have to weigh those two things. I mean, no matter who you are, you know, you're still a citizen and you still, hopefully you still vote. And you do all this kind of thing, but it can be pretty dispiriting after a while.
What's it like in your newsroom?
Busy. I mean, we had this thing. This is something that happened with during the 2016 election. Election night, by the way, it's changed a little bit with the internet and everything. But if you ever want to be in a newsroom, newsrooms don't really necessarily look like they do on TV and movies. Just
right.
Like, you know, radio stations don't, TV network stations don't. Election night is the one time that it really does. And there are people yelling and running around and it's fun. That's the best place to be is a newsroom on election night. But last time, what happened was, you know, after the election, these people on Facebook kept telling me, like, oh, I bet you guys were crying in your newsroom on election night. I bet you were just crying tears because Trump was elected. And I was like, that is not how it works. So, like, what actually happens is that was a story we weren't really that prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was just busting their butt. It was exciting. It was, you know, nobody expected it, and that's a more interesting story than if Clinton had won. And I could not make these people believe me. It's like, no, you guys were just sitting around moping and crying. And it's like, that is not at all the way it works.
What will Tuesday night, will you be allowed, or no, I shouldn't say allowed, will you be assigned, or do you have, you come in with your own pitch and say, I want to go cover this angle of the election? How's that work?
Well, I'll write about the media coverage of it, and mm-hmm. I've done that for a long time, and because it's always interesting. And what became interesting, and again, the internet has changed some of this stuff because
sure.
of the way that votes are counted. We used to have to send somebody down to the, you know, to the registrar's office or to the board of elections to get results. You know, and now everybody can kind of follow them on their computer in real time. It doesn't always work all that great, but it's still quicker and it's not as exciting. But I mean. Somebody will say something, and there's always some controversy about when are you going to make a call? And that was the thing. That's what I told this person who said we were crying in the newsroom. I said the only reason we were crying is because nobody would make the official call on Trump winning, and we were getting too close to deadline. And I was like, that was the only reason we were unhappy.
Which of everything going on in our state, doesn't matter if it's what part of the state, that you look at and say, these two people really hate each other, and when it comes time for one of them to concede, I think it's going to be really hard for that person to just be professional about it.
I don't think they'll be unprofessional, but I think with McSally and Sinema, I mean, that's been such a weird
nasty
race, and it has
nasty.
And they do that thing where they let the political action committees do the dirty work for them. You know, the really nasty ones, you'll note at the end, they don't say, you know, hi, I'm Kristen Sinema and I endorse this, or, you know, I'm Martha McSally and I endorse this. They're out-of-state people who just kind of do these hit jobs. But, man, you cannot watch a football game
right
without – and that's where they seem – I don't watch a ton of TV. I've sort of adopted my kids' habits where I don't watch it in real time. I'll just stream stuff, or I'll tape it and watch it. But I can't. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's from working in news and sports or whatever too long. I can't tape a game and watch it. Like, I got to know who won. And then it ruins it for me. I just can't do it. So if you're going to watch the thing live, you got to sit through these commercials. And, I mean, I reckon that's why. I mean, they know they got you. You're a captive audience.
Trust me, I've figured out that I don't have to know, or even if I do know, I'm just looking for – all sports really come down to about five plays per game. There's five plays per game that will determine the winner or the loser, usually. And it doesn't matter if it's in the NBA or if it's in, you know, in the NHL, maybe two or three plays. In the NBA, it usually comes down to five plays. Baseball, three to five plays. If you know those three to five plays and you skim through a game, if you sit there and watch every last play and dissect every last play, you are going to kill a good 2.5 hours on a DVR. You are. And I'm not giving away any trade secrets. It's just there's so much nonsense within a broadcast now that has nothing at all to do other than wasting time and trying to fill the 3 hours for the network. So, but that's just me. Let me get over this.
Something I've always wanted to steal this idea. I remember it's been 20 years probably. But or more than that. But Rick Riley, one time when he worked for Sports Illustrated, just sat during an NFL game, sat with a stopwatch, and you know the game, you know the broadcast lasts, I don't know, 3 hours, something like that. And he sat there with a stopwatch and timed how much actual time of play there was.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it was like 4 minutes or something.
Right. No, that's right. let's get over to the Suns, because on the sports end of things, the air is out of the balloon. They are unwatchable once again. The novelty of Ayton to me, and yeah, Booker hasn't been out there the last few games, but you're sitting there consuming TV. What do you make out of what's going on with the Suns again from a television standpoint?
Well, that's what I want you to do. I want you to help me.
Yeah.
Tell me why. Tell me, make me a Suns fan again. You know, I talk to my kids sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they weren't born. I mean, and they don't, you know, they know Charles Barkley just as this kind of funny commentator and stuff like that. They don't know him as, like, truly one of the greatest players of all time. But the thing that they can't believe or wrap their head around, and this isn't just my kids, by the way. This is people who have moved to the Valley in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years. As you well know, when they were great,
yep,
people were painting their houses orange and purple.
Did stories on them.
people were on their walls that faced the street, like the, not like their back, you know, their backyard wall. They were like, "Go Sunshine." People were. I mean, it was great when the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl, and then certainly the community got behind them. And a certain segment's always going to support ASU no matter what. But certainly for me, that is the most I've ever seen a community get into a team. Now, I've never lived in Chicago or somewhere where everybody lives and dies about the Cubs. But granted, now at this point, that's ancient history, right?
Okay, let me jump in on this.
But how do you fall off so far?
Okay, so I'll help you out on this one. While you were talking, I knew where you were going with this. I searched the answer to your question. Here's how you become a fan of watching the Suns. Tomorrow night, Kawhi Leonard is on the Toronto Raptors. Sunday night, Marc Gasol is on the Memphis Grizzlies. Brooklyn has nobody, so don't bother. Boston has Kyrie Irving and others. New Orleans has Anthony Davis. Oklahoma City has Russell Westbrook. Do you get where I'm going with this?
Joel Embiid. I'm not watching the Suns.
Yes. Joel Embiid is going to face off against DeAndre Ayton 2 weeks from Monday. After everything that Joel Embiid has said, why would I not want to watch Joel Embiid on a Monday night? So it has nothing at all to do with the Suns. LeBron was on last week. They played the Warriors last week. There's not a good reason other than to watch a little bit of Ayton, to me, to see the development of Ayton, and that's it.
Well, that's sad. It reminds me of when my first job at the Republic was I was the Kingman Bureau. But I would drive down, if the Redskins played, I played high school football against Gary Clark.
Yeah,
and he broke my jaw, and he was actually a better defensive back then he was a receiver, but I would drive down here to see Gary play. You know, I wasn't driving 3 hours to see the Cardinals lose.
Okay, so before you get out of here, let's get over this Netflix thing, because you've got something here on the sheet about Sabrina the Teenage Witch that you want to talk about on Netflix and how this is going.
I told you last week that, like, my sole criterion now for whether a show is good or not is how distracted it keeps me on the treadmill.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is awesome that way. It's like a remake. It's super dark. It's really dark. Like, people die and stuff. It's not like the Teenage Witch that from Archie that you remember if you read those things as a kid. I really enjoy it. And I thought, actually, after I talked to you, I thought, you know, that might be kind of a fun thing to pitch, like, you know, like the treadmill critic or something like that.
Yeah.
But I realized that it would lock me in to do it in a real way. I'd have to run more because I'd have to watch these things faster. I'm not sure that's not a level of commitment I'm willing to make at this point now.
But Bill,
I might.
Bill, how many people get on a treadmill and watch a series about a witch? You're the one, which is fine. I think it's great. It's great.
It's 10 episodes. I'm not going to finish for like 2 more weeks.
That's right. All right, get out of here. Enjoy the election, and I'll let you go off that. I'll leave him laughing. There's Goody.
Bye.
Bye. Get out of here. Sabrina the Teenage Witch is on my is on at LA Fitness. I can't leave right now because I'm streaming it. No, it's not happening. So this weekend, with the high school games tomorrow night, Eric's going to be out, Haley's going to be out, Jordan's going to be out. I'm actually going to do some play-by-play of Horizon and Castile tomorrow night on the site. And Saturday, Jordan's going to be at the ASU game. I'm going to be at the ASU game. Tonight, I'm going to the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame. Pedro is actually hosting that tonight. And Kevin Tillman, Pat Tillman's brother, and Jake Plummer are presenting Pat Tillman tonight for the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame. I'm looking forward to going to that tonight. And there's no Cardinals game this Sunday, which is fine. It'll be Packers and Patriots. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. And Kennedy was doing the internship today, learning from Eric on the producing part of it. Happy birthday to Eric Sorensen. Have yourself a great day.